This morning's scripture reading will be in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. That is Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15. Therein the word of God reads, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
Amen. Church, say amen again.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to see each of you. I appreciate so much the opportunity to be back with you and to be back safely. Gospel meeting was certainly a great success. And we always appreciate when we get a chance to go and reveal the gospel to those who certainly need it. It's good to be back, and it's good to see so many. And if you're visiting with us, we're delighted to have you. We're thankful for your presence. And we just love visitors. We love those who may be investigating the truth, and we try to deliver it in such a way that you would be able to understand it and search the scriptures to see and make sure those things are so. A couple of weeks ago, we started a sermon, a series entitled, "What Kind of Soil Are You?" What kind of soil are you? This is based on what you read in Matthew chapter 13 and what you just heard in your scripture reading. Jesus is talking about the way in which people will receive the word of God. And that's important. It's very important. It's about you. It's about your heart. We showed on the last time we were here that it was not about the sower. That's not where the emphasis was put in this particular narrative. Jesus went out, and he is obviously the sower, but he's also going to send out gospel ministers. And the emphasis was not to be put on the sower. And interestingly enough, if it was put on the sower, then Jesus was not able to save many because they had problems with him. Now we know about his perfection. We know who Jesus was, and we know that he was the sinless Son of God. And yet people found fault with him and therefore did not receive the message. They did not receive his doctrine. Because they found fault with him. They blamed our Lord for a great many things. They called him a wine bibber. They called him one who was a glutton man. I mean, they had all kinds of things to accuse our Lord of so they would not have to receive the message. But the message was not really about the sower, nor was it about the message. The message is fine. It is the seed of the kingdom. The kingdom must be sown into the hearts of men and women. And yet there are times when people will not receive that word gladly. We have seen that throughout scripture. In Acts chapter 2, we find that there were some who gladly received the word when they heard it, and it resulted in their salvation and their reconciliation to the God of heaven. And then there was those in Acts chapter 7 who received the word madly. In Acts chapter 5, madly. And as a result of that, they rejected it, and some even committed murder to the messenger. Paul would say to the Galatian brethren in chapter 4, he says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Verse number 16. And so sometimes people put the emphasis on the messenger, and they put it on those things rather than on what Jesus is putting it on here. Now, what Jesus intends to help us to appreciate is that it is about you. You can think about it in terms of looking up here. You can think about the speaker. You can think about the one who is speaking to you today. And you might find fault with me. You might find fault with the way I phrase things. You might find fault with the way I say things. You may find fault with a great many of things. You may just not like my look. I don't know what it is. But you can put it on a great many things when you look here. But the point is, the emphasis is, when the word of God goes out, my friends, you always should check it for its truthfulness, for its scripturalness. You should check it for those things. However, the emphasis is going to be on the one who receives it, and how do you receive it? You see, the Jews just could not get past the packaging of the word of God. In other words, he says a sower went out to sow. So he reaches into his bag and he throws some seed out. And sometimes the word of God may not come the way you expect it. And so the Jews' problem is they didn't like the package. They just could not get past this peasant Jew whose family was poor, whose father was a carpenter, and they would often ask, how does this man have these things? And so therefore they stumbled, didn't like the package. How dare God come down here and package his word into a man that is poor instead of full of pomp and favor? How dare he package that package into a man whose family is poor and who's from Galilee of all places? They just could not get past these things. And as a result of that, they missed the message. And they made it more about Jesus than they did themselves. Well, sometimes the educated just can't get past receiving the message from whom they perceive to be uneducated. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. The Bible says, and when they heard the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they did not go to the school of the rabbis. They did not serve in public office. And so therefore, they were unlearned men. They were unlettered men. They didn't have the degrees from the schools. And so as a result of that, they just didn't want to receive that message. But they marveled and took note of them that they had been with Jesus, because they cannot believe that these men are speaking publicly, yet they have no public office, no public life. They are uneducated. They are illiterate, unlearned men. And as a result of that, how are these men even speaking this kind of bold stuff in front of everybody with no shame? Well, the one thing they noticed, they had been with Jesus, and that's why. When we're speaking the words of Jesus, my friends, we need to let the word of God speak and not worry about what folk think of us. Amen. Well, Jesus used this parable to point out various soils the word of God came in contact with. Now, the question then is, what kind of soil are you? You have to determine, what kind of soil are you? How important is it to hear before I get to the soil? Well, Matthew chapter 13, if you were to notice, if you were to look at verses 9 through 23, Jesus uses the word ears four times. Hear nine times. Hearing three times. Heareth four times, heard one time. The way you hear will determine whether or not you will receive the word of God. The way you hear will determine whether or not you deserve to hear the word of God. Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, he says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save it. Jesus says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The very words folks rejected will one day, my friends, be the same word enough to render them guilty before God in the last day. No one will be presented with something new. If you can't receive this now, these same words that you reject today will be looking at you in the judgment. Amen. John writes in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. He said, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by those things that was written in the book according to their works. Matthew 24:35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. So Jesus said, the same word that you reject today will meet you again in the judgment. And if you rejected it then, my friends, that word is going to condemn you at that particular time. We should be quick to hear the word of God. That's what James says in James chapter 1 and verse number 19. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, the rabbis observed that man has two ears, but only one tongue. And they also observed that those two ears are open and exposed, but the tongue is caged behind teeth. In other words, my friends, we ought to be more ready to hear than to speak. Two ears, open your ears and hear the word of God. We should not be dull of hearing when we hear the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11, Paul says, of whom we have many things to say unto you and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now the word dull is the Greek word nothros. And that word means slowful and lazy in your hearing. Because people have a greater desire for material, physical, and carnal things, they become lazy and sluggish in their desire and perception of spiritual things. Did you hear what I said? You see, if you love carnal, worldly things, and those are the kind of things you want to hear, those are the kind of things you're ready to listen to, if you're ready for those kind of things, if folks are offering you some kind of things, my friend, that's going to advance you physically in a worldly way and all those kind of things, if we always so ready to hear those things, it's because our spiritual senses are dull. And sometimes we find the word of God to be something that we become lazy in our hearing. We begin to be lazy in our search of the word of God so that we don't perceive the word of God in a spiritual sense. And so that's the point of a parable. Jesus takes something that the people know about, and then he casts alongside of it something that they don't know about. He gives them a spiritual meaning alongside of something that they can relate to in a carnal way. So he says a sower goes out to sow, and he sows some seed, and it falls upon various types of soils. And that is intended for us to understand that we all have a particular heart condition that enables us to hear a particular way. He wants us to understand that. And when I take the seed, the word of God, and I plant it in these various soils, one is going to flat out reject it. Three are going to receive it. Two are going to keep it. And one is going to bear fruit. Which means I better make sure that I am the right type of soil. Let's deal with one of these this morning. He says there some of the seed fell on the wayside. That's what I call the unresponsive soil. It is a heart that is unresponsive to the gospel. When the word of God is spoken in the direction of this type of soil, it is like ground that has not been plowed. It is the pathway where everyone has been walking and has just made that area so hard that the good soil or the good seed will not be able to penetrate it. Therefore, it is so hard that the seed, when it gets in that area of someone's heart who has this condition, the seed just kind of stays on the surface. So that Jesus says in his parable that the birds came and took it away. Jesus then describes it as the wicked one who snatches that word away. In fact, Mark says it is Satan who is represented by those birds that takes the word of God that has been sown into that type of heart. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 15. When the word of God is taken out of the heart, it cannot produce anything. Therefore, my friends, it cannot have any understanding. It cannot come to faith. It cannot produce salvation. Luke records this way in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 12. He says, those by the wayside are those that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away that which is sown into the heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Question. What makes this soil unresponsive? It is the kind of heart that hears but is careless and inattentive. You ever seen someone come into worship and they are playing on their phones? They are writing, they are distracted, they are having conversations. They're doing everything but listening to the word of God. Now, my friend, that is one way to pass the time, I assure you. That is one way to pass the time. But that's this kind of a hearer. When you hear the word of God, what you should be doing, my friend, is paying close attention. Because what you're trying to do is ascertain whether or not what you're hearing is going to be beneficial for your soul. It's going to be beneficial for your spiritual life. Because every one of us came in here in some kind of condition. Every one of us came in here with our own particular problems, with our own particular challenges in life, with our own particular beliefs, with our own particular attitudes, and all of them are probably not aligned with the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, my friends, you want to find out if what I'm hearing is going to be beneficial to me, because it may be necessary for me to make some changes in my life that's going to make me more fruitful toward God. And so therefore, my friends, before I put my defenses up, before I began to be inattentive, before I began to be distracted by other things, before I allow my mind to wonder about things that's going on in my life and in the world, I need to set aside this time to zero in on the word of God, receive it into my heart so that it can make a right impact in my life. And when I don't do that, I become just like this kind of soil that is unresponsive to the word of God. It is the kind that hears, but is neglectful and forgetful, negligent. This is the way a fool hears, and no one wants to be termed a fool. Now understand, when I say a fool hears, the Bible is right. I'm not calling any one of you a fool. But if you are a fool, the Bible will locate you and identify you to yourself. In Proverbs 1:22, the Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." He said, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will give my words unto you. For I have called, and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You rejected all of my counsel, and would none of my reproof." That is a fool. And that's the way a fool hears. A fool don't want to hear anything. A fool will not listen to wise counsel. A fool has his own heart as his counselor. What is heard with this kind of soil does not reach down into the affections. Therefore, one cannot love it. One cannot delight in it. You ever felt like the Bible is kind of boring? Now let me talk honestly to you now. I'm trying to reach some folk in here today. How much time do you spend with it? Think. No one in here but you and God knows what's going on in your mind right now. You may not love this. You may not like this. It may be all right or all right. That's how they say it today. It might be all right. But that's about it. But you may not spend much time with this, because this is like a mirror that casts a reflection on you. James says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer and not a doer, he is like unto a man who beholdeth his face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh," he continues to look, he stoops down and investigates. He looks into the word of God, parakupto. He stoops down and looks. looks investigatively because he wants to know the reflection that's being cast on him. And if it's not the right kind of reflection, he's going to change. He's going to modify. He's going to alter some things so that it will be compliant with what he is reading. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being now forgetful here, don't you dare look in there, walk away and forget what you just heard. Don't you dare look in there and say, I know what it says, but. Don't you dare look in there and then go away and say, but I'm going to do my own thing. That's what we did to our parents. We proved ourselves to be those kind of hearers. Did you hear what I said? I heard you. And you walk away and do what you want to do anyway. We were showing ourselves from that point early on in our existence not to be the right type of hearers. What do you think is going to change when you get here now? You've been disobedient and defiant all your life as a child with your parents who was God in your life. And now when they turn you over to the God of heaven, having trained you and prepared you to listen to him, you've never listened to anyone. What makes you think you're going to listen to God? You'll look right in the word of God and forget what manner of man you was. Word of God said, oh, you need to change some things. Oh, your reflection is not a good one. You got stuff all on your chin. You got to clean your face. You got to wash up. You got to straighten up. Your tie is not straight. Look at you going out looking like a mess. And you went right away and said, I'm just going to do me. What kind of hero are you? When this don't reach down into your affections, you can't love it. You cannot delight in it. You cannot take any pleasure in it. So therefore, I'll tell you what this is going to do for some of you. It's going to sit there. You know it's here. You know the word of God is in the world, but it's going to sit there while you do other things. For some people, it's going to sit on a table open to their favorite passage while they do other things. If it reaches down into your affections, it'll bless you. You'll be like the blessed man of Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. When you meditate in the day and night, it blesses your life. But how does one do that? It's because they are not like this unresponsive soil. The word of God has infiltrated their hearts and they start to love it because it reaches into their affections and impacts them in a powerful way. And then they want to know more. They want to learn more. They want to know what it is I can do to improve myself, not you. But to improve yourself. I'm a gospel preacher, but I've got to adhere to the standard. Amen. When I study first for me. Amen. Now I am commissioned to preach the word of God, so then I try to share with you what I learned from the word of God. And then you can be helped. But in your personal devotion, you should be doing the same thing. Amen. What makes this soil unresponsive? The word of God comes, but the heart is like a door that is closed. Therefore, it remains uninformed in its judgments. It begins to be unconcerned in its emotions. It's like what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. But in this type of heart, the knocks go unanswered. The Lord could be right here with the word of God. You know, every time the word of God goes out, it's his word. And I didn't make it up. It's not about the one who's giving the message. You know, a drunkard can tell you not to drink. It'll still be right. I don't want to hear from you because you drunk. Yeah, but I can still tell you, don't drink. Not good for you. Is it any less true because the man who told you was a drunkard? An individual who's been using drugs to tell you, don't use drugs, it'll ruin your life. Wait a minute, I don't want to hear from you. Why? Because you use drugs. Well, that's why I can tell you. Sometimes experience is a teacher. It's not about the package. It's about you. And the sooner we get off this idea of looking everywhere else instead of our own hearts, the better off we're going to be. Now, let me tell you something. There's some folks not going to get this. Right here in this audience, some folks are not going to get this. They're going to continue to look elsewhere. But if you want to do yourself well, you need to get this. Everyone who gets it is going to be helped. Everyone. Every time this word goes out, that's like the Lord. It's his word knocking on the door of your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who going to let him in? Who gonna let him in? The unresponsive heart is gonna keep the door closed. The knocks are gonna go unanswered. They will not open that door. But why are they so hardened? False teaching. False teaching will harden you, my friends. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destructions, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts. You've got to guard it. Keep thy heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And literally what that means is, my friends, life issues forth from here. Not here, from here. Because this is the Bible heart. And life issues forth from the heart. How you think, how you act, your attitude, your personality, all those things has been shaped either by foolishness or by the word of God. Amen. By good things or by bad things. That makes you who you are this very day. Now your life is going to issue forth from your belief system. Your conviction. The things that's going around and swimming around in your head. Those are the things that's going to move you forth in this life. If somebody has sown all kinds of foolishness into you. I don't care if it's parents, grandparents. Because they can sow some foolishness too. Amen, when you get a chance. Because they will sow into you all kinds of superstitions and all kinds of stuff into your heart that will be contrary to the word of God. And you, my friends, will live accordingly. It'll mess you up the rest of your life. How many of us have that stuff sown into? You know, I don't say bye. I say see you later. Because when you say bye to people, you may never see them again. That might be it, you know. So I don't say bye. I said bye to a friend one time and then they died. And so from that point on, I don't say bye. I said see you later. Well, you know what? Keep saying see you later to me. I guess I'll live forever. You get all that stuff sown into you. It's contrary to this. You start to trust in things that are frivolous, that are false, instead of in the truth of the word of God. Well, false teaching, my friends. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. You be careful what you listen to. You be careful what you read. You be careful what gets into here, my friend, because it just might become your conviction. Now, if I could have everyone stand up, don't stand up, I'm just hypothetical. If I could have everyone stand up and tell me one of your major beliefs that's not Bible, just one of your major beliefs, something you've been taught, something you've been told. This is one of my major beliefs I live by. Now, if I could have everyone stand up and tell me one, we could measure that by the word of God. Amen. But how many of us would be willing to do that? Stand up and say, this is what I believe. Because then I'm going to take the Bible and I'm going to say, just a moment. Let's investigate that. You know, the Bible did speak to that. Like if you were to say, you know, I believe, well, Brother Desmond, I believe in reincarnation. I'm going to say, wait a minute, let me check that. And then I'm going to say, you know what Luke 16:19 says? There was a certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, fair sumptuously every day. And likewise, there was a beggar named Lazarus laid at rich man's gate and desired to be fed with crumbs, fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sore. But it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels of Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar of Lazarus in his bosom. Cried with a loud voice, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and save Lazarus. Let me dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted thy torment. Besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which will pass to you, to us cannot, from you to us cannot, neither can they pass from us that will come from thence. He said, this thing is fixed. There's no coming back from that. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And then he says that, my friends, when folks hear, they're going to come out of them tombs and they're going to live. But marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. That thing is fixed. The way the tree go down is the way it's going to get up. There is no such thing as reincarnation. If that was one of your beliefs, we'd measure by the word of God, and you'd have to give it up. Amen. Now tell me another one. Because we would measure by the word of God. But once you get all that stuff in you, it makes you unresponsive to the truth. Why? Because you would rather believe that, because it's been a core belief of yours for so long, than the word of God. Amen. False teaching, my friends. If you allow false teaching, worldly views to be sown into your heart, those things will harden you against the truth. Not only that, prejudice. Matthew 13:14-15, they were prejudiced against the Lord and his doctrine. Jesus said, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. They were prejudiced against the Lord, and therefore would not hear his doctrine. Not only that, people resist the truth. Acts 7:51, Stephen referred to the Jews as stiff-necked, stubborn-hearted, obstinate type of people. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Some folks, my friends, are simply resistant to the truth. Jews spent so much time being resistant to Christ that they didn't pay attention to what he was teaching. We must teach the same word. We must teach the same message. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We can teach the same message that they taught, and we're going to basically get the same result. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and his dead in his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word. Then he said, be urgent. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. The word sound means healthy teaching. It had to be a pure message, unadulterated. Man's doctrine couldn't be put in it. It had to be a message that had no gypsum in it. It had to be free of any pollutions. We have to make sure that man didn't get his cotton-picking hands on God's plan. Amen.
says, don't worry about the masses of people because the masses are not coming. Look over the landscape of the denominational world today, and you look at all of these folks, everybody doing everything, everybody doing what they want to do, and everybody celebrating everybody for doing what they want to do. That's not the message. The message is there was always going to be a few. Always going to be a few. Not everybody doing everything. Not everybody teaching what they want to teach. Y'all tell me something. How in the world did we get a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, Catholics? How did we get all of that? With everybody teaching their own doctrine, doing their own thing, calling themselves different names, doing things in different ways of salvation. How did we get all of that? And yet, that's not in the Bible. I'm saying somebody has to answer those questions. Now, you might not want to receive the message, but the message is true. I wish I had time. Because I'd like to take you back to Genesis and bring you forward. Because if you look at God's plan, it was to culminate in his church, whereby he could unite us all in Christ for the salvation of our souls. And some, you know what? They resisted the truth then. Folk are going to resist it today. Practicing sin will harden it. Hebrews 3:13, the Bible said, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. By the time the truth meet this type of person, this type of heart, it has been so run down and over with the doctrines of the world that the truth won't penetrate it. See, that's what this was. Remember, the sower took a bag. He threw it over his shoulder. He reaches in and he throws some seed. He's trying to get it into that good soil. He is not trying to get it over here where the folk are walking. That's not where he's trying to throw seed. But what Jesus says is while he's throwing the seed out there, some of it fell over there on that hard, beaten path. Now, we've been walking up and down that thing, just walking over here on the path, and you know good and well when folk done walked over here and basically done made a sidewalk that you're not supposed to plant no seed over there. If you are an unresponsive heart, we're not looking for you. Amen. This is not for you.
Yes.
We understand why you reject it. It's not for you. Amen. It was never intended to be sold over there. But because of the nature of God, so that no heart can say, I didn't have a chance. I didn't have an opportunity. Now, yeah, when you saw it over here, now I'm going to resist it. I am going to fight. I am going to buck. I'm not going to accept it. Oh, absolutely. We know that. And the only way we know that is some of us got to fall over there. So if you say, Brother Dinsmith, now I know I'm unresponsive. I know I'm going to reject the truth. I know I'm not going to accept what you're saying and all that kind of stuff. I don't care how much Bible you show me. I don't care how many verses you show me. I'm just going to accept my faith and you have your faith. Bible says one faith. But okay. Well, when I throw the seed over there, I'll throw some your way. But when you reject it, I'll move right on up my rope. Because that's what Jesus did. Disciples said to Jesus, do you not know that the scribes and the Pharisees were offended at what you said? Jesus was teaching his doctrine. He wasn't trying to come here to receive popularity and trying to get folks to accept him. He was just preaching his doctrine. That doctrine came from heaven. And the Pharisees and the scribes, who were religious people and religious leaders of the day, they didn't want to accept it. So when they got offended at what he said, the disciples got a little concerned about it, just like some of you. Brother Dinsmith, I brought my friend in here. Don't talk about that. You might offend my friends. You might offend someone I brought in here. Listen, I can't be concerned about that. I'm not trying to offend them. The truth will offend them. I'll give you book, chapter, and verse. Y'all know I don't have time to really get into all of that, but listen, if you got any questions, I guarantee you, we'll sit down with you at your leisure, at your opportunity, and we'll share with you the word of God where you can read it for yourself, and we'll dot all our I's and cross all our T's until you satisfy. And if you reject it, you reject it. If you accept it, thank God, and we'll praise God with you and for you. Amen. That seed gets over there, because we'll throw some your way. But if you're unresponsive and will not accept it, then, my friends, that tells you who you are. You're just not the right type of soil. And that's what Jesus is presenting here. This area was never intended to be sown, my friends. These are the kind of folks that come before God as his people. They'll sit before him as people. However, they do not take heed to his word, nor do they take hold of his word. They come for fashion's sake, if you will. They are there to be seen or to make an appearance. Sometimes people make an appearance because of family members. I'll make an appearance because of my mother. So that's when you get the folk coming in on Easter, Christmas, all this kind of stuff. Never see them until that time. You know, this is not the right kind of soil. You're coming more for mama and daddy than you do for the Lord. And so as a result of that, you're just unresponsive. The word of God truly makes no impression on these kinds of people. They have become too hardened by the world, by the ways of the world, and by the doctrines of the world. That stuff got into your heart, my friends, and the word of God won't penetrate it. When you accept a false doctrine, my friends, the truth can be staring you right in the face and you won't recognize it. In fact, you are wholesale rejected because you've accepted another way that is not in your Bible. Jesus said these kind of hearers are easy prey for Satan. Why? Because the words I just spoke are probably going to fall on some deaf ears. I get it. I understand. No problem. But if you can picture this imagery, it's time for me to quit. If you can picture this imagery of Jesus and notice what he says that word of God, it comes in on this type of a soil, hard soil. And if you can imagine, if he's throwing that seed out there, you see that seed land over here on that hard soil, and the seed is just bouncing. Now, it penetrated over here, but it just was bouncing over here, scattered. And he said the birds came in, and they got the seed. Why? They saw it on the surface. That's food. Came in and got it. But then Mark says, that's Satan. Because now, in the imagery, he is putting that in your heart. And the word of God is coming, but it's just bouncing on the top of your head. Can't get in there. Can't get in there. Just bouncing on the top of your head. And Satan sees it and comes like, give me that. You ain't gonna do nothing with it. Let me have it. Let me have that. Let me get that in a hurry, just in case you get funny and decide you might want to accept this. Yes. So what that means, my friend, is when the word of God goes out to you, you got to open up. You got to grab it. You got to clutch it. You got to bring it in. You got to open up. You got to let it penetrate. Because if you don't, it's going to be gone. You might be sitting here right now, and you halfway moved. You thinking about it. Oh, wait, this has gotten down to my emotion. I need to be where this kind of preaching is being done because I can relate to it. I can see everything in the Bible. Man, my emotions are being impacted. I know I need to change my life. I want to come forward right now. I'm thinking about it. And then we'll sing the song, and you'll keep hesitating. You'll keep hesitating. Then you'll go on out the door, and next 2 weeks you'll be gone. You'll be gone. You know why? Because you know you should have obeyed right then. You know you should have responded right then. You did not strike where the iron was hot. You didn't have enough conviction. You didn't have enough courage. You was worried about all these people. You worried about what somebody gonna say about you. You worried about, if I come out of my church and come to the Lord's church, to the church of Christ, you know what? I'm gonna lose all my friends. I'm gonna lose my position, on and on and on. You got all this stuff going on. I'm not really ready to make that commitment yet. I got too many things going on in the world. I don't know if I can live this Christian life. You got all that mess going on in your head, and it's gonna stop you. It's gonna stop you. If I was in your position right now, I'd already be up. No shame. If you need to get up and come on up here right now. I'm almost done. But if I were you, I'd already be up. Where are you going to walk in here in sin and then go out the same way you came in when salvation is being offered through Christ Jesus our Lord? Amen. I was preaching in a gospel meeting in Georgia. And after I was finishing, just like I'm doing right now, this lady was standing there and she was looking at me. She was looking at me with some kind of look too. I didn't know what to think of. I didn't know if I was in some kind of trouble. I didn't know if she was going to be jumping on me, what she was going to be doing. She had a different type of look on her face. And so I'm looking at her and she's looking at me. I lock eyes with her and she did like this. Then she did like this. And I looked at her and I did like this. She came on out of there and ran up here. She just wanted to know, can I come now? Let me tell you something. You can come right now.
Amen.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. Have you repented? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Change your mind right now. That's all it takes. Change your mind. It's repentance. It's a change of mind, my friends, brought on by godly sorrow that leads to a reformation of life. And then you confess him with the mouth, Romans 10:19, unto salvation, Matthew 10:32-33. And then you get baptized. Not because you saved, that's what the denominational world tell you. It's just an outward sign of inward grace that if you receive Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, then later on they'll schedule a baptism. That's not in your Bible.
No.
You're never going to find that in your Bible.
Amen.
So what you need to do is come and get saved because, my friends, baptism is for the remission of sins.
Amen.
Baptism puts you into Christ. Baptism is what removes the old man. Baptism is into the death of Christ where he shed his blood, Revelation 1:5, so we can be cleansed by his blood and justified by it, Romans 5:9-10, Colossians 2:11-12, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 22:16, and how many more you need? They're all there. Stop letting folks tell you it won't save you. Stop letting folks tell you you're already saved before baptism. That's not in your Bible. Stop letting folks tell you, just say the sinner's prayer and you're going to be saved. Not in your Bible. That's why you're so unresponsive when you hear the truth. Not a did my part. But it's not about me. It's not even about the Lord right now in terms of a message. It's about you and your heart. Who will come? Brother Darvin, come on up. Who will come? We're going to be standing right here. Brother Darvin going to be standing over there. I'm going to be standing right here. We're ready to receive you. And heaven is ready to rejoice and receive you. Come now as we stand and sing the invitation song. Don't
have